You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I thank you for the final episode in this podcast series, Working from Rest. And I thank you, Father, that rest is a powerful concept. I thank you that it is a promise for those of us that know you and those of us that live and move and have our being in you, which is everyone, Father. But I thank you that not everyone is working from rest. And so this topic is on your heart today because we have been designed and called to live in the world, but not of the world. And Father, there is a way of being, there's a way of working, there's a way of functioning in the earth that is reserved for sons of God, those that are led by your Spirit. And so, Father, I pray today that this episode would be a revelation revolution. I pray, Father, that it would revolutionize the way that people are experiencing themselves and experiencing you and experiencing the world. I pray that they would be catapulted into a new experience of being a human being. And I just thank you for the journey that you've had me on to learn these truths, Father, and I thank you for the continual upgrade that it has produced in my life. And I thank you, Father, that today is not just a teaching, but I also just declare that it's an impartation. I thank you freely. I have received these things, and so freely I can give them. And so I just release an impartation on today's broadcast, Father, of deep rest, of peace that surpasses understanding, of a way of simplicity, Father, a way of living in union with you, enjoying your presence, enjoying your company every single moment, Father. I pray for just a deeper level of intimacy with you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that will be realized today by everyone that is listening, everyone that is watching the broadcast. And I just thank you for filling my mouth with the words that you want to speak, with the concepts that you want to convey. And I just yield all of my faculties to you right now. I just declare the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and that we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, I pray and I give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodness, let me get a drink of water here. I always do these podcasts in the morning, and I feel like this is the first time I'm using my voice. So let me get a drink here. Awesome. Well, you guys, I am happy that you're here, and I'm excited about today's topic. I've been excited about this series, and I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. And I really feel like it's actually a foundational series. Last night on the Emerge call, we were talking about the difference between really being a babe in Christ and being someone that is spiritually mature. And when I say spiritually mature, a son of God. And, you know, it says in Romans chapter 8 that those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But we also talked last night, and I'm just going to briefly talk about it today, that in Hebrews chapter 5, in the very last verse, it starts to roll in that last part of Hebrews chapter 5, it starts talking about how that those that are spiritual babes are in need of milk. And it talks about that they are unskilled in the word of righteousness. But those that are of age are those who have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. And so I'm just going to kind of talk about the difference between a spiritually immature or a babe in Christ and a mature son of God here for a moment while we kick this off, because it's important. Because if we're going to learn to work from rest, then it's going to require that we move from milk to meat. It's going to require that we are skilled in the word of righteousness, which is the milk. It's the sincere milk of the word. And when I talk about being skilled in the word of righteousness, or when the scripture in Hebrews talks about being skilled in the word of righteousness. Let me just go over there really quickly so I can give you the scripture reference. I'm doing it from memory here for a moment. So let me just take a moment and pull this up. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. See if I can get my Bible to work this morning. The joy of digital Bibles, right? I keep hitting the wrong part of the app. Okay, here we go. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so this scripture, and really what I want to chat about today, is the difference between really being a babe in Christ and being of full age. And working from rest really is something that those of us that are full age should expect and enjoy as an everyday way of life. But that's not to condemn you if you are a babe. And by a babe in Christ, the definition here is that you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. And it's not to condemn you if you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, but at least I want to provide the truth about the milk that you need so that you can grow into spiritual maturity. And I'm going to talk about the things that I'm going to talk about today, which really are meat. They're really designed to help you operate as a mature son of God. But this idea of being skilled in the word of righteousness really just means that you are skilled in understanding your identity in Christ, that you are righteous, that you are perfect, that you are holy, that you are blameless, that you have an identity that is Jesus in, you know, insert your name suit, Jesus in a chalice suit. That's kind of, you know, the revelation I share a lot about our union with Jesus. It means that you understand your union with Jesus and that you are righteous by new birth. You are righteous because of your association with Christ. And you are skilled in this righteousness, meaning that this is a way that you relate to yourself. You're not struggling with the old man that was crucified with Christ. It means that you understand that there is a spiritual way of being, and then there's just a natural human way of being, which is not the old man, okay? We all have a human body. We all have a mind. We all have a brain, and we have two ways that we can live. We can live spiritually minded or we can live carnally minded. And babes are primarily carnally minded. It means that they are still sense world driven. It means that they are trapped in their feelings. They're trapped in their emotions. They're trapped in just the natural reasoning and are evaluating things through the faculty of their mind and sense-based knowledge and struggle in their identity, struggle in their connection with God. It's like a roller coaster, feeling close to God sometimes, maybe when you're in worship, feeling distracted or distant from God when you are doing non-spiritual things, rather than abiding in Christ, understanding that you are one with Christ and living out of that union with Jesus. Now, I'm not going to say any of us, no matter how mature we are doing this perfectly 100% of the time. But when you are spiritually mature, it's simply a shift of your focus. It's simply coming back into an awareness of your union with God, which is the foundation for living in rest. You know, I have covered a lot of ground in this series. I've talked about that working from rest means that you see everything is already finished. But I wanted to kind of bring it back down to kind of an elementary level today, because the only way that you're going to see things finished, the only way that you're going to be able to operate outside of time and really step into the future that God has for you, the good works that he ordained for you, is that you're going to need to operate as a son of God. So we can grow up very quickly. We can become skilled in the word of righteousness very quickly. We can hear the gospel and we can begin to receive revelation by the grace of God of our union with Jesus. And we can begin to meditate and eat the truth and begin to recognize that there is a higher way of living where we are walking in the spirit, not walking by faith, not by sight, and that there is spiritual perception. There is a way of thinking that is higher than your mind. There is a way of feeling that taps into the mind of Christ and to the heart of God, which you possess. And you can step into a place of peace, into a realm of joy, into the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because it's in you. It's in you through your union with Jesus. And so I just want to share that, because the foundation pretty much of everything that I teach is to help you experience more of the Christ in you. And that is very true for this topic of working from rest. And so today I want to talk about working from rest, not as just a perception of seeing everything finished. I want to talk about what happens and how you walk that out now that you know it's finished. When I say it, I mean anything that you're called to do, anything that the kingdom of heaven possesses, everything that heaven contains has already been lavished upon you in Christ. So there is this material world, and then there's this immaterial kingdom of God. And so working from rest means I'm working with a kingdom perspective. I'm working from the perspective or the position that when Jesus said it is finished, it actually is all finished. It's just an invisible reality. And there is a destiny that God has called me to walk out in union with him moment by moment, day by day, in the manifestation of what has already been finished. So today I really want to talk about this walking out in time, what has already been finished outside of time. Because there is a walking out of our destiny. There is a walking in the good works that God preordained for us to do. There is a supernatural lifestyle that God has called us and equipped us in Christ to actually enjoy every single day. And so that's what I really want to talk about today. And I want to kick things off with this idea of something that I've been sitting with for a while, and it's something that we do in the graduate program for Emerge, where we start talking about designing your life. We start talking about designing your identity and alignment, not only with who you are in Christ, but who you are called to be in the body of Christ, who you are called to be in the world. And that is unique, right? We all are sons of God, this kind of like generic identity that we all have through our union with Jesus. But you are a unique expression of the glory of God. You are a unique expression of Christ. And so in this process that I take my students through, we are designing an identity that is in alignment with their destiny. Okay, this is about putting on the identity. Yes, you put on Christ, but then you're putting on this unique expression of who God created you to be. It's about being authentically who God created you to be and walking in that unapologetically, walking in that confidently, and being in agreement with God around who he's created you to be. You know, in my own life, I talk a lot about this idea that transfiguration is a key core calling on my life. I am a transfigurer. I am here to just transfigure the body of Christ so that we collectively can transfigure the world, meaning reveal the new creation in our, through ourselves, obviously, but it also in creation, that we are here to make a difference in the world. We are here to transfigure the systems of this world and to reveal Christ and the rule and reign of Christ in every system of the world. And so that part of my calling, that part of my identity is unique to me. And we all carry an aspect of the glory of God. We carry a manifestation of the character of God. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit, but also something that is uniquely you. You know, whether you're creative and maybe you're an artist or maybe you're a musician. Well, there is something unique. There's a unique sound. There's a unique message. There's a unique way that you express the things that God has put inside of you. And that's true no matter what you do as a vocation, no matter what it is that you're called to do. And so today, as we think about that and we think about, okay, what is this identity destiny alignment? You know, part of the exercises that I take my students through and those that I coach and mentor is this exercise of, you know, deciding what is going to be your default way of being? What is going to be the way that you operate every single day? What are the emotions that are in alignment with who you really are? What is this way of being? How are you showing up every single day? And then we talk about from that place, also doing something called designing our ideal day. And, you know, a lot of times when people start out in this exercise and they think about what would a perfect day in my life look like? Well, I think people sometimes start with like, well, I'm on vacation. I am, you know, walking down the beach. I am, you know, camping in the woods. I'm spending time of solitude in the mountains or whatever, which is, you know, wonderful. But that is, you know, living on vacation 12 months out of the year is not engaging with the world and not necessarily, you know, it's not fulfilling your calling, right? So I'm really talking about not just a location that you're in and your ideal day. I'm really talking about a way that you show up every single day. And so it's one thing to say, I show up with a vacation mindset every single day, versus I'm on vacation. I'm in a physical location of vacation every single day. And so working from rest is an intentional thing, you guys. It's an intentional way of being. And if we aren't intentional about this, you know, how we're going to show up in the world, then we'll just show up reactive. We'll show up as a victim to whatever is going up in our lives. I mean, I talk about the importance of, you know, it's not so much about doing your devotional every single morning and praying every single morning for the sake of doing religious activities. No, it's really about waking up. It's about waking up to sonship. It's about waking up to your true identity and living in an awakened state where you are walking through life not trapped into the seen realm, not reactive in the seen realm, but connected to the presence of God, abiding in your union with Jesus. It's not enough to know who you are in Christ. It's designed to be a way of being that you're living out every single day. And so today I wanted to share with you kind of my ideal day. All right, which is really a way to say my ideal state of being. And I wanted to share it with you so that it would inspire you to think about how you want to be in your life. And I personally want to work from rest. I want to work from the perspective of that the Holy Spirit has revealed the future to me, that there is something that he's asking me to receive. There's something that he's asking me to do in partnership with him. And I want to see that future and I want to know that it's finished. It's one of the reasons why I do the prophetic words once a month and I do the prophetic words once, you know, for the year. It's because I want to partner. I want to partner with what God is doing in my life, what God is doing in the earth. And I want to recognize the growth that he is cultivating in my life right now. And so my ideal day, let me just read this to you. I wrote it down again in my little journal here so that I could read it and share it with you. And here's what it says. Let me find it. All right. It says, so this is about my ideal day. You could also say just at my ideal state of being. Okay. Here's what I wrote. I said, it's not about what I have or where I am at or what I am doing. It's about how I feel and how I do whatever I am doing. And then I just began to speak about it. I am aware of your presence. And I'm speaking this to God, right? I feel your presence resting on my body tangibly. Okay, I'm going to come back and talk about this. Let me just read it and then I'll come back. It says, I'm in hay mode. And I'll talk about what hay mode is. For those of you that know me, for those of you that watched my podcast or know me when I, you know, really get in the spirit and I start doing hay. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But it's funny. I'm in hay mode, flowing powerfully in the Holy Spirit. I am spiritually minded in my right mind. Under your influence, being directed by you moment by moment, I am at peace, full of joy, hope, and the fruit of the Spirit. I'm drunk on love as I engage with others. Your love flows through me. I am present, confident, awake, and aware. I am at rest, seeing the future finished as you do. Simply asking, what's next, Papa, and working with you in time to manifest what is finished outside of time in union with you. Now, this will be worth re-listening to. You're welcome to write this down. You're welcome to take it. You're welcome to modify it. But let me just tell you the power of this, right? It's like just by me reading it, it shifts my state of being. It's something that I like to refer to as a positive trigger, right? We talk a lot, you know, we hear a lot. I don't know, again, you know, depending on how much you watch me or work with me, you know, we talk a lot about triggers, and triggers are very real, but we always seem to think about those in a negative way, right? Like something happened to me, or I had a conversation with someone and I was triggered and I went from peace to a level 10 emotion. I got angry, or I got anxious, or, you know, we come out of peace. We come out of like our right mind into a program, and the program, a subconscious program, is firing. And now it's like we're a little robot going down this, you know, hopefully we're awake and aware of that, so we aren't controlled by it, but we are aware in a disruption in our inner world. Well, this is a disruption in your inner world, but it's the opposite way. It's a positive trigger in the fact that it triggers you into, or it triggers me into, the spirit. It triggers me into abiding with Jesus. It reminds me of who I am. It reminds me of how I am intentionally showing up in the world. And so there's a couple of things here that I'll point out a little bit. You know, it says that I'm aware of your presence, and that I feel your presence resting on my body tangibly. You know, I have done podcasts about the presence of God and how I began to experience the tangible presence of God for the first time in my life in my 30s. And prior to that, prior to me being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, and honestly just fully surrendering to God, and even understanding what it meant to be filled with the Spirit, what it meant to be, why pray in tongues? Like, what is the point of praying in tongues? Well, it's to, first of all, to get you out of your head, to get you out of your mind, to get you into your spirit, to connect your spirit to your tongue, because words are powerful. They're creative. It says in Philemon, however you want to say it, that when we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, like an edifice, higher and higher, in the Amplified version it says. So it's, you know, it's powerful. I mean, I had no power in my life as a Christian until I really surrendered to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, you know, began to get teaching and understand what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is, that on the day of Pentecost, right? Those people were drunk. It says they were not drunk as you suppose, but they were not in their right mind. Peter went from being afraid of a little servant girl to seeing 3,000 people come into the kingdom that day. So that there was a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a real infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, you see it over and over again. So I grew up in a traditional Christian background. I had no grid for this. I had a grandmother that prayed in tongues, and I thought she was a weirdo. You know, I was like, no, thank you. That's weird. I don't know what that is. Then I grew up in a traditional background that kind of was like miracles. You know, maybe we believe in them, maybe we don't. You know, maybe they passed away with the apostles. You know, so I just had no grid for the supernatural. It was all weird to me. It was all scary to me. And I'd been taught to be afraid of those things, that, you know, the devil was the only one that did anything supernatural. So I came from a very conservative background. But, and it was during that time that I began to get mentored, and I began to, you know, I talk about that I met an apostle that, my goodness, she had the intimacy of God. She was like married to God. And as I began to sit under her teaching and began to connect with her, I began to experience the tangible presence of God. And so, I mean, that can feel like a sensation of burning on your head. You know, I used to feel it on my ear. Now it's more like my feet, my hands. It can manifest in lots of different ways. Like, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is real. And, you know, it's an impartation as much as anything. And so I just pray right now, if you are not experiencing the tangible presence of God, I just release an impartation of that into your life. It is life transforming. It is, and I just release that to you. You know, I remember reading the five love languages years ago, you know, and the five love languages, if you're not familiar with them, right? It's touch, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, and acts of service. And there's a beautiful book that I think his name's Gary Chapman, that wrote those books. And there's one of them that talks about the five love languages in God, and says that God loves us in our love language. And, you know, for me and for many of us, we need to have the love of the language of touch in our relationship with God. We need to be able to sense God's presence. And you can obviously sense God's presence in worship, but the goal is to be able to be connected and sensing God's presence all the time. Why? Because he's always with us. And so this is a beautiful gift, to be able to be filled with the Spirit and experience God in our everyday lives. And that kind of leads me to the hey mode, right? It's like when I'm really in, I mean, I can just be, I don't know, I don't have to really be doing anything. I can be just walking around in my house. I can be thinking a particular thing. And it's like all of a sudden there's like a hey. And I just know that hey that comes out of me is the Holy Spirit. And it's actually Hebrew. It's funny. It supposedly means the breath of God. People have told me before different things that it means. I had one student one time actually get, I have a shirt that has fire on it and it has the word hey. They laughed at my hey and they gave me a t-shirt. But the point is of all of this is that this is a positive trigger that is connecting me to the presence of God and can reminding me of who I am, that this is my normal state of being. And this is how I am to function each and every day of my life, moment by moment. It also talks about this way of, yes, I'm seeing the future, but there's this way of working where I'm just depending on God. I've come into a place of rest and a place of simplicity where I'm just asking the simple question, what's next, Papa? And that scripture comes from Romans chapter 8. And in the Message translation, I use it a lot, but let me just read this to you. This is kind of one of those, like I would call it like a trigger scripture. It's one of those scriptures that just put me into a place of total dependency upon God. Okay, let me pull this up in the Message translation. Here's what it says. This resurrection life you've received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? So I just took that phrase right out of this scripture and have really lived a life of practicing the presence of God and simply asking, what's next, Papa? You know, I've got my to-do list. I've got my things on my agenda every day. But what if we just lived the way that Jesus lived in total dependency upon God and just simply flowed with the Holy Spirit asking God these questions? What's next? What's up next? Okay, now I want to take you over to another scripture in the Message translation. It's one that I teach out of, I feel like, quite a bit just because it is such a powerful scripture. But it's in Matthew 11. And it's verse 27 and 28, also in the Message translation. But let me read 27 to you. It says this. It says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. He says, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. I'm going to stop here for a moment because remember, we've been teaching out of Ephesians 2:10 that says that you are his masterpiece, his poem, his poetry, recreated in Christ for good works that he preordained before the foundation of the world, right? And so Jesus is just acknowledging that concept here by saying, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. He's on a mission. And guess what? So are we. We are on a mission. And God has given us things to say and things to do. And here's what he says here. He says, this is a unique father-son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. And I want to tell you that your destiny, your calling is going to come out of father-son intimacies, father-daughter intimacies. The same way that Jesus operated is the same way we operate. Why? Because Jesus is in us. We are grafted into the Trinity through our union with God. And Jesus was not just a representative of us, but he was an example to us of how to live as one with the Father, how to live in union with God, how to depend upon God. And he says this, no one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And I'll keep reading here in a moment, but this is why developing your skill in growing up in your ability to discern and live as a spiritual person, not just a babe in Christ, but living with activated senses so that you can hear the voice of God. You know, this is primarily what I'm helping people do, because how can you live your destiny if you can't hear the voice of God? How can you be led by the Spirit if you cannot follow the Holy Spirit? But Jesus says here that he's not going to keep this intimate relationship that he has with the Father to himself, that he'll go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen, which I also kind of taught to me ties back into verse 15 above in the Message translation, which I have written this down so many times in my journal, so many times on note cards, because it is such a good reminder. It's so simple. It just says, are you listening to me? Really listening? Gosh, I mean, when I just feel the Holy Spirit on that. Are you listening? Really listening? And then in verse 28, here's what he says. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me." Okay, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And beloved, this is the goal. I mean, this is the goal, that we would learn to live freely and lightly, that we could take a real rest, a rest from human toil, a rest from anxiety and worry, and that we could function in the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, rest is so, so powerful, right? It's not just a nap we're taking or a good night's sleep. No, rest is when you have entered into trust. You trust that it is finished. You trust that God is leading you. You trust that God is good. You trust that you are who God says that you are. And guess what? The fruit of that is relaxed. You are relaxed. You can be relaxed in a crisis. You can be relaxed when everybody else is freaking out because you are in a different state of being. I love that idea that Jesus is relaxed. You know, he wasn't in a rush to go to Lazarus after he passed away. No, he was at rest, simply doing whatever the Father was instructing him to do as he was walking out his destiny. He was walking out in time in union with God, doing what the Father was doing, saying what the Father was saying, trusting that God was like his GPS, that he knew how to get him from where he was to where he was going, step by step by step by step. And it really sets you free from having to figure everything out. It's not that God doesn't download blueprints and download visions, sure, but he's going to show you the end. But how you get from where you are to where you're going is an act of trust. It's an act of dependency. And it is a way of being where you can enter into rest. And that requires that we stay in the present moment. It requires a recognition that now is where God is. Now is the only place we can abide. Now is the only place that we can rest. So I also said that rest is like you're calm, cool, and collected. And it's a state of being. Okay, your being is entangled with God's being, and it's right now, and it's now, and it's now, and it's this place where you are aware of the fact that you live and move and have your being, your way of being in God. And I just did a little bit of research on this. If you guys have heard me teach on the map of consciousness before, I just wanted to kind of bring that back in here briefly. If you don't know what the map of consciousness is, you can Google it. It's the Map of Consciousness by David Hawkins. It's just this graph. I'm not a graph. It's like a chart or like a table of the different levels of consciousness. And when I say the word consciousness, it is not a New Age word. Okay. Conscious just means level of awareness. It is an energetic state. It is a measurement of your state of being. Okay. And you can have Christ consciousness. You can have self consciousness. You can have sin consciousness. You can have righteous consciousness. And you can also have all these different levels of consciousness that David Hawkins talks about in his map. And really, they're characterized by a variety of different emotional states. And I'm not going to teach on the map of consciousness today. I have taught on it in previous episodes. I tell folks, just go back and binge watch and binge listen to my podcasts. There's just so much, you know, I can't reteach everything in every episode, but I want to talk about it today in the sense that this state of rest is level 600 on the map of consciousness. It's the place where it's characterized by peace. And it's interesting because peace is actually a higher frequency than joy. Although joy is, I want to say it like this. It's a blissful peace. Okay. It's a joyful peace. And it's characterized. This is how you know you're there. Okay. Is that you have silence in your mind. Okay. You don't have a busy mind, right? You have stepped into this stillness. Like you know, that scripture that says be still in Psalms 46:10 that says be still and know that I am God. There is this place where there's this stillness in God's presence. There's a flow. Okay. There's this unforced rhythms of grace. You're thinking, mainly infused thoughts. You're thinking thoughts that are coming not from you. It's a revelatory place. And if you've been in it, okay, it's almost like a trance, and in the sense that it's a different way of being. And I can tell you, we can live in this way of being 24/7. We can live in the state of abiding in peace. We can stay in a place that surpasses our mind, and we can stop the judgment machine of our brain. We can stop, you know, conceptualizing and making meaning of everything and telling stories all day long. And we can come into a more of a witnessing mind, where we are witnessing. Yeah, we might have thoughts. We might have a mind that's going a little bit nuts, but we're not just experiencing that mind. We're observing that mind. And the illusion of separation begins to just be swallowed up in this place. There's no longer an illusion of separation between you and God. There's no longer an illusion of separation between, you know, us and them. You just start to see the world. You start to see a different existence in the world. You recognize that everything's been reconciled, that you can enter into rest. Like the revelation of it finished, the revelation of the new creation begins to flood your heart and flood you, your awareness. And you step into this place that is the being of God, the being of rest. And that, beloved, is so, so very, very powerful. Okay. It's a place where you aren't easily distracted. And if you are distracted, you are coming back into this awareness quickly. You know, we live in such an information age. We live with phones in our hands. We live with the World Wide Web. You know, I mean, goodness gracious, we can just get so distracted and go from thing to thing to thing to thing. But beloved, really working from rest is coming into this place of deep awareness and deep communion with God as you go throughout your day. And I think the more that I practice this, the more that I get into this, the more that I realize that I need to organize my schedule and I need to organize my day in ways that cultivate the state of being. And it doesn't mean that I escape. It doesn't mean that I have to go, you know, away for a week, although I highly recommend that. I highly recommend that sometimes we just shut everything out. Like, could we really go a whole day without our phones? Could we really go a whole week without electronics or without, I mean, we'd have to tell everybody because, you know, everybody's expecting us to respond right away. But it's like we need to unplug and we need to develop this unforced rhythms of grace. It's a cadence. It's a rhythm of life that is counterculture. It's kingdom culture. And, you know, I think in the disciples' day and in Jesus's day, I mean, what a different culture that they lived in. You know, it's very much more common in other parts of the world. The West is just a go, go, go type of culture. But this isn't even so much about busyness outside as it is a lack of busyness inside. And our inner world is so, so very important. I mean, guarding our heart with diligence is so, so very important. And unplugging from the seen realm, or unplugging from whatever it is that is vying for our attention and occupying our minds more than the communion of God, is like, we have to discipline ourselves. And when I say this is not a work, I mean, this is a necessity. This is the necessity of being still. And, you know, that's why I so enjoyed the retreat that I did with John Crowder, you know, whatever it was last month, beginning of April, which was really about the practice of contemplation. I mean, you know, I get it. We're not monks. We're not nuns. We don't live in a monastery, but we can take times of silence. We can take times. I mean, and I'm doing this more and more and more. In fact, if I do find myself getting triggered, and I will say sometimes the more that you practice this, you know, the more sensitive sometimes that you become even to other people's atmospheres and other people's worlds. And so when I start to sense chaos, or I start to sense like I'm taking on other people's stuff, or I'm affected by something that's going on in my day, I'm triggered. Well, you know what? I'm truly practicing just going and laying down and just coming back into that place of rest and coming and drinking in the presence of God and coming back to that place of rest. Because I've mentioned this before and it's coming to me now, and I'll wrap with this today, that when we think about, you know, I talk about this, the four levels of consciousness, the the to me consciousness, the by me consciousness, the through me consciousness, and the as me consciousness, right? We're by me. Well, let's start at the lowest level. To me means I'm just going through the world reactive. The world is happening to me. I'm just a victim of my circumstances, and I am just at this place of victimhood, right? But then you can go into by me, which is really this place of toil, where if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I'm working hard, I'm working long hours, I'm living in exhaustion, because if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. There's no level of trusting God. There's no surrender in this place. But then when you get into the levels of through me and by me, you know, those are where you're now, you know, walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working through you. You're in partnership with God. And obviously as me, there's no more separation. You and God are operating as one. But I'm bringing that into this last, you know, few seconds of this teaching is because you get more accomplished in those higher states, like being still and gathering your inner world. You can get done in 1 hour. You know, what takes hundreds of hours in these lower level states of being. Like I don't have the formula in front of me, and I don't have the journal in front of me that actually calibrates the different levels of how much work you can do in these different states, but it is exponential. You actually accomplish more in the Spirit. And 1 hour in the Spirit, 1 hour in working with God is hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of toil and victimhood. So I just want to encourage you as I wrap this series to not leave this concept, even though we're wrapping the series, and take some time and really think through, like, what am I focused on in the sense of how am I going to intentionally live my life? You know, life is precious. Each day is precious, and we're not going to get yesterday back. You know, so it's a, can I enjoy my life now? If Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, well, I believe that abundance is a state of being as much as it is anything else. I mean, how many of you know you can be in the most beautiful place in the world. You can have a gazillion dollars in the bank and still not be in a place of rest and peace. Like, it's not an external thing. It's an internal thing. And I just believe that guarding our hearts and cultivating a lifestyle of rest where we are truly working. Yes, we're doing things, but we're doing it from an inner place of peace, an inner place of the fruit of the Spirit. And we are walking in union with Jesus, experiencing God, you know, each and every moment as we're depending on God, doing what God is doing, saying, what's next, Papa? And trusting that as we follow the Spirit step by step, that He knows exactly how to get us to our destiny, that God has the ability to get us where we're going, that He will finish the good work that He's begun in us, and He will bring it to completion. So God bless you guys. I really enjoyed this podcast, really enjoyed this episode as well. And I just pray that you will absolutely take these things to heart and implement them in your life. Remember, to be a hearer of the word and a doer, and not a doer of the word, it causes us to be self-deceived. So make sure that you're implementing these things and talking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus and Papa yourself, so that you can take what He's really trying to teach you through these things and apply it in your life. So God bless you guys. I love you much. And we will see you for a new series next week. It's a surprise, but it's going to be good. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.